Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Your favorite talk show host, Michael Savage, back with you this Monday. You can see why Michael Jackson went out on propofol, I can tell you that. Yeah, I can see why people get addicted to drugs. Not going to talk about my colonoscopy much, but I will talk about it a bit. Because it's all personal. Political, the personal is political today. I mean, you could just read what's going on in the news on the web, but you can't feel it. With a talk show host who you've come to listen to, whether it's me or others, I don't know, you have a personal relationship. So it's sort of my bar, my coffee shop. It's open for business. You've come in, you're having a coffee, you're having a tea, you're having a cappuccino, a macchiato, whatever. And the guy behind the counter, that's me, was out a few days. You're asking him how he is. He's here, that's all. So you want the details? I'll give you details. Just for fun, I mean, for the heck of it. I got to tell you this. The guy says to me, we're going to ask you three questions. What's your name? I tell him. When were you born? I tell him. What are you here for? I tell him. And I wake up. It's over. But that's only the beginning of the story. The good thing is there's nothing wrong with me. Just so you know, God has given me a new lease on life. What should I do with it is the real question. Now, you want to hear something funny. I know it's nothing compared to what people go through in life. Major surgery. But you know what? At the end of the day, a splinter in your finger is very personal. If it's your splinter, that splinter is more important than the other guy's cancer surgery to you. Am I right or wrong? You want the splinter out of your hand. So to me, the colonoscopy was a big deal because my mother, may God rest her soul, died of this. 88, yes. She went in for a colonoscopy and wasn't dead in 2 weeks. That's all. So I was afraid. I mean, well, you don't know. You don't know what's going to be. So the fear of what he may have found was worse than, you know, there was no issue there. The drugs were great. I can see why I don't use drugs, because I'd be an addict. So they found nothing. Diminutive polyp in the cecum. Small polyp in the sigmoid colon. One diminutive polyp in the sigmoid colon. That's it. Nothing. So now I have a new lease on life, unless I got run over by a terrorist in a Mack truck or something like that. I have to figure out what to do with the rest of my life now. It appears God has given me a new lease on life. What should I do with it? Now, I got to tell you something. In the waiting room, this is an interesting story to me. Again, it's to me. I decided most people go into doctor's offices and they don't pray. They don't know how to pray. They don't know where to turn to pray. They think that they'd be goofy if they prayed in an American East Coast or West Coast hospital ward or waiting room. No one does it, right? Maybe in the Deep South they do. But you want me to tell you the truth? Hey, Ryan, give me the prayer book. I need it now. I took with me a little prayer book I've had since I'm 13 years old that my grandmother gave to me. I was never a religious kid. It was a beautiful white leather-bound prayer book. And I've always carried it with me. You know, sometimes I'd look at it, sometimes I wouldn't. I opened it up while I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and I read a prayer. Now, what if I tell you that this prayer gave me strength? You'd say he made it up. Now, what is the difference if the mythology of the prayer makes no sense whatsoever, because it doesn't? Logically, prayer makes no sense. Do you know that? Your sense of reason says this is rubbish. It can't be true. And I'm going to read you some of the points of the prayer where I say, but it gave me a feeling of confidence that I'm special, that God's looking over me. Isn't that what matters? In that sense, you could say that religion... See, I'm going to go into this now. Okay, that religion is very personal and very egotistical and quite narcissistic, incidentally. I don't think anyone's ever said that. But since I'm writing my book, God's War, I may as well throw that in there. Religion, at the end of the day, and prayer is extremely narcissistic and personal. Because listen to what the prayer says. Okay, so I'm sitting in the waiting room. Middle-aged people, well-dressed, you know, soft clothes. There was one famous rock and roller in there. I won't mention who. You probably don't know him. It wouldn't matter anyway. I guess he had to have the same thing. So I read the prayer. And it says, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Or what does that mean? He shall cover thee with his pinions. I don't know what a pinion is. And under his wings shalt thou take refuge. Well, that's interesting. So God had wings. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler. Now, but here comes the interesting part. In the little prayer I read in the waiting room, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the plague that ravageth at noonday. Now, here's the part that I want to read to you. Does this make sense to you? Because I've thought about this objectively for many years. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right. It shall not come nigh unto thee. Wow. So in other words, everyone's dying around you, but you won't die. Now you say, well, what is the sense of a prayer like this? Does that make any logical sense? No, but it gives you strength to believe that God cares about you. God cares about you. Now, if you're a cynic, you know who cynics are. It's everybody in America, with the rare exception. Actually, I think there are far more religious people than you may expect, by the way. And I went on with the prayer. For God, you are my refuge. You were made me the Most High, the dwelling place, blah, blah, blah. Thou shalt bear thee upon the land, lest thou strike thy foe against it. I felt like it gave me a little bit of strength as I went in there. I didn't need a pill, because I already had one. But the thing was, it gave me a sense of calm. I didn't want to read a magazine in the waiting room. Imagine before surgery, you could read a magazine, like how to do your hair or how to fix a carburetor. What sense does that make? You know, I've seen the magazines in the doctor's office. What if they had, like, prayer books instead? San Francisco? Yeah, really, that would work. That would really work, prayer books in San Francisco. That's like Trump voters in the Castro district. So it appears God has given me a new lease on life. What should I do with it? Now, here's the interesting part. And I'm going to go on with the news. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know what I'm going to do today. Supreme Court throws out North Carolina voter ID bid. Oh, no, I saw that one. I'll tell you about that. And then I'll tell you about the cyber attack, who I think is doing it. I'll tell you right now, North Korea. How come all the geniuses in the media, no one said North Korea? Everyone's getting hit, but why wouldn't it be North Korea? Russia got hit. Asian governments got hit. Businesses are disrupted. It's North Korea. Who else is doing it? Okay, Mr. Kim Chi is doing it. He's showing you that he's got the power to cyber attack the world. Don't underestimate this guy. That's all I can say. Or as Donald Trump said, he's one smart cookie. That was really great. That was a smart one. Really high, high up there on the list of things to remember. That's a quotable. He's one smart cookie. But, you know, compared to the people at Harvard, I would say Kim Jong-un is a genius. Here's a guy at Harvard named Lawrence Tribe. I guess it's called Tribe. He always thought he was going to be appointed to the Supreme Court by Barack Obama, but he didn't. He's like a bitter, nasty old woman. Trump must be impeached. This is a constitutional professor at Harvard saying Trump must be impeached with no evidence whatsoever. Tribe is off the reservation. That's all I can say. So I'm going to go back to prayer for a minute. So the point is, my wife goes into a body shop, and she says, a guy says to her, you know, oh, she says, your husband's Michael Savage. She says, yeah. He says, you know, I don't listen to AM radio. He's the only show I listen to because why, she says? Because he's the only one in AM radio who talks about God and reads from the Bible. Do you think he's alone? Do you actually think because of the left-wing fanatical atheists in the media that you're alone in your prayer? I don't believe it. And here's another thing while you're thinking about it. You want to make it an ethnic thing? What do you think the percentage of Hispanics in America are who believe in God and go to church? Far higher than you would believe, yet the media only shows you the gangbangers with tattoos on the neck. They don't show you the families going to church on Sunday with their little children, do they? But I see the bigger picture. Now let's go to the African-American community. You may think the African-American community today is only, you know, the violence that is portrayed by the media, the gangs, the this, the that, the beatings. What percentage of African-Americans in America do you think believe in God and are churchgoers? It's much higher and higher than you may think. There's far more people praying than you would ever believe in this country. So I want to tell you that when I went in, it's a little event. Okay, I know colonoscopy is not a big deal and you laugh at it, but to me it was a big event because my mother died from it. I was afraid they'd find something. You understand that? But here's the thing I didn't tell you yet, and I'm just getting warmed up. It's Monday. Give me a break. The night before this event, my mother came to me in a dream, and she was trying to read a prayer to me in Hebrew, but she couldn't. She didn't know Hebrew. She was not a religious woman at all. And she said, I want to read you a prayer. And she said, I can't read these words. And I said, Mama, don't worry about it. Look, just it's English translation. You can follow the transliteration. And she smiled. And she read a prayer to me. I know my mother's in heaven, and I know that God exists, and I know there's a heaven. Now, I'm not asking you to say, yes, I agree, amen. I just know it. So how do I know it? Because I have faith. That's what the word faith means. It doesn't mean belief. If you study the etymology of the word belief, it's different than the word faith. I learned that at age 17 when I was trying to find out the difference between faith and belief. Two different words, two different roots, two different meanings entirely. Faith is different than belief. Do you understand that? So I can tell you I have faith that there's a heaven, there's a God, that my mother's in heaven and she prayed for me. How do you like that? Now, there's nothing more I can tell you about it. Thank God I came out of it. I feel like a new lease on life. The drugs are still hanging around there. I had a little side effect. My submandibular gland, and they never saw this happen. See, the problem was I came out. If you ever get a colonoscopy, you should know this. Why don't you ask them to give you like a pre and post what you should eat afterwards? They give you a big list of that garbage you have to drink before. The worst part of it, of course, is the purging. It's disgusting. Maybe somebody can invent something different than that. I'm never eating soup again as long as I live. Any kind of soup. Last night I went to a Mother's Day dinner. Beautiful restaurant. I said, take the soup tureen away from me. I never want to put it in my mouth. Never. After eating that broth, it's all I could eat was broth the day before. Like, never. I don't ever want to put soup in my mouth. It was so nice being with the family and my grandchild. I got to tell you. So the whole thing is family. And the house was filled with dogs and this and dogs and the baby and the outfits and the little boat. It was really nice. And you realize that children are a blessing, total blessing. And you realize that they are the future. And you got to protect them the best you can from the poison of our society, because the poison is everywhere. Oh, the toxic poison is everywhere, destroying our children's minds. The masterminds of deceit are out there. So that was nice. That was good. Mother's Day was nice. But never, no more soup. Never. And Jell-O? If I walk past it in an aisle, I need to put blinders on. I have not eaten Jell-O in 50 years. It actually tasted good the day before. It was one of the few things I could eat. And that's it. I'm back. I'm good. But I made a mistake afterwards. You want to hear what? I was still high on the drugs. On the propofol. What a drug. Ugh, man. And no one told me not to eat right after. In fact, I asked the aide, what should I? Oh, you can eat normal. I went right away to a deli. I had a ham and egg sandwich the minute I got out. And a coffee. All I wanted was coffee. Because I didn't have coffee for a day. Coffee never tasted better. I scoffed down that ham and egg sandwich. Then I went into the supermarket and I bought a turkey leg. The size of like a, I don't know where the supermarket gets these legs from, now near where I live. The size of like a baseball player's forearm. I never saw anything like it. Where are these? They're like monster turkeys. Monster turkey leg. And I said, okay, I'll eat it for lunch. I got home, I started to eat it. Crazy. Then I got sick from overeating. You hear this? Then at night, I had the flare-up. Did anyone ever have this? The submandibular salivary gland blew up on the left side of my face. You couldn't touch it. It was so painful. I call a doctor. No one's in Friday night. They give me an assistant doctor. Go to the emergency room. I'm not going anywhere. So I took all of my local nostrums. They all worked. I did my throat spray, mega doses of vitamin C, mega doses of zinc, stuff I've used for 50 years for myself and my family. And some other things. And I got it down a little, but it still flared up. Would you believe this? Could be a side effect of the drug. I don't really know. I know the drug is a side effect of a swollen tongue. That'd be like a forked tongue on MSNBC. So, I don't know. That's what I'm talking about now. I'll move on. My mother came to me before the procedure, the prayer I read. I know God is real. Oh, one other thing. If Trump gave everyone $100,000 who was poor, let's say Trump announced today that anyone who makes below a certain amount is going to get $100,000. They'd attack him anyway, saying, why wasn't it $200,000? How dare you give away only $100,000? That's how sick this has become. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. If you heard the opening, you're going to be able to follow what's coming. If you didn't hear the opening, I don't know. You're going to have to catch up if you showed up late in the classroom. Bobby, on WABC, we have less than a minute. Fire away. Go ahead.
Sir, I do have to admit, I don't even know how to start speaking with you. I just wanted to really give you some bullet points. I want to really thank you, sir, for being one of the only ones, too, who had the nerve and the fortitude to mention George Soros. I also want to congratulate you, too, on being probably the only talk show host that I've experienced. I'm sure there's maybe more who's not afraid to talk about God and his belief in God. And
but how could you put that animal in the same words with God? I don't understand what one has to do with the other.
I'm just saying the things that you have made.
Soros is the living devil, in my opinion. If there was a living devil on the planet, it would be that octogenarian monster who hates everything free in America. Please don't mention that rat's name again.
I totally.
But I appreciate. See, I got angry. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get angry. I like that you like that I mentioned God on the air. Look, all I want to say to you is this. I don't have to apologize for reading a prayer on the air, especially when I used it before I went into a minor piece of elective surgery. The fact of the matter is, more people pray in this country than you would know by watching HBO, okay? You rely upon the perverts at HBO to tell you who's praying?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Times do you wake up in the morning and look at your eyes in the mirror and say, oh, I wish this bag would go away? Well, if that's you in the morning, you're not alone. I know, but you know, bags and puffiness under the eyes happen to be a problem for millions of American men and women. But I have something for you to think about. The new Genucel serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, and she said, I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and have not come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan, folks. Millions of people use it, and they love it. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours. Guaranteed to what? You get your money back. Chamonix has extended their amazing Mother's Day sale. Call now and get a free month supply with your order and free upgrade to express shipping. All you got to do is call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. If you order now, Chamonix will include a surprise luxury gift absolutely free. 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. So at the Mother's Day dinner last night in the restaurant, I had two mothers at the table, my wife and my daughter, who's also a mother. And I thought about how significant this is and how beautiful a holiday it really is, Mother's Day. That maybe it started as a, you know, Hallmark card birthday, holiday. But when you celebrate women like that, and not just women, not the screecher, screaming, bomb throwers. I'm talking about women, mothers. Mothers, the backbone of the entire society. They bear the burden. Father, you know, makes the baby with the mother, but what does he really do? His body doesn't get affected by it. The mother, think about what the poor woman has to go through to bear a child. We never ever talk about that. It's hidden. The body, the woman's body is so heavily assaulted by childbirth. You do know all of this. The poor woman has to deal with all of this. The man's nothing. It's like a gadfly. There he is, flies in and flies out. So you have to respect women. You have to really take care of them. That's the whole point of it. We're talking about mothers. We're not talking about Joy Behar types. We're not talking about the other type, you know, the basters. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the authentic biological mothers. How's that? You don't like it? It's too bad. Go read your book of the devil. You don't like what I'm saying? Go worship your book of the devil. Get out your pentagram. So I'm at the table, and I had my first glass of wine or three before anyone sat down. I opened up a great bottle of white I've been holding, a Bourgogne, Loire Valley. Wow, it makes Sauvignon Blanc taste like what it is, which is toilet water. So, you know, I was a little, you know, six sheets to the wind, just on two glasses of wine. So the restaurant's crowded. I said, I want to make a toast to the mothers at the table. All right, so he's going to figure he got to do that. And I said, were it not for you wouldn't be here. It was not for you, baby wouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole continuity. And I said, if it wasn't for the mothers in heaven, I wouldn't be here. She wouldn't be here. We all wouldn't be here. Now, when you make a little statement like that, a little prayer like that, as trivial as it may sound or as trite, it's actually not trite. It's quite profound. It reminds you of a few things, like A, you weren't born out of the blue. Maybe the drug addicts on HBO think that they were born unto themselves out of their own anus. You know, perhaps they thought that they made themselves. But they didn't. They come from mother. They come from woman. Maybe they don't want to recognize that, but it makes you recognize that. It puts you in context. That's number one. Number two, it creates a finality to your life. There's a finite limit to your life. You're not going to be on television forever in your makeup, screaming at everybody like you're God. You're on HBO with a fake audience. Take a look at a guy like Bill Maher. To me, he's one of the most despicable people in the history of the media. To me, he's nothing but a diminutive polyp. I'd be more interested in looking at a diminutive polyp and a colon than listening to this man on HBO. That's what I think of him and all of the other left-wing fanatics who hate God. A diminutive polyp in the cecum would be of more interest to me. They should be removed with a cold biopsy forceps from television if I had anything to do with it. If I had anything to do with it, I'd remove them from the airwaves for poisoning the minds of the people. Anyway, whatever. So there it is. So it's beautiful, that's all. It reminds you that you're not alone. You didn't give birth to yourself. You're part of a continuum. You have a lifespan like a Drosophila, and you're going to die one day. So, you know, do the right thing, man. It's as simple as that. I don't want to do the news right now. I mean, I have the news. Supreme Court throws out North Carolina voter ID law. First thing I saw that, I said, oh, we got screwed by Gorsuch. I said, no, we didn't, because it was 4-4. All they did was uphold the lower commie court. No, okay. Let's see when it's got the 5-4 court and they reintroduce the bill. I was going to do that. Weekend news stories. Assange and Snowden, they're the ultimate villains of the cyber attack. They are. They are. They're the ones who stole. They're the ones who stole the data, the keys to the computer technology from NHS, CIA, DIA, NSA, MI6, Mossad, DGSE. Didn't they steal it? They're the villains. They are the villains. Assange and Snowden are the villains of the cyber attack. Now, there's more. James Comey, you want me to get started on him? His claim to fame, he put Martha Stewart in jail. A real brave guy. You hear? With all the crime in New York, he put Martha Stewart away. Wow. What a great guy he was. He really has his priorities straightened out. George W. ABC, go ahead, please. You are a scoffer. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I am a right-wing atheist. By the way, I've had 6 colonoscopies. But I want to just mention this belief in God. How do you know that it's not due to some kind of secretion from the pituitary gland?
Yeah. I heard the same thing when my child was born. All the atheists, like you would say, when I said my child is smiling, said, no, it's just gas coming out of his body. If you want to live in that world, I can't help you.
Well, think about it. I mean, you're a man of science. I mean, here you are.
Yeah. So was Albert Einstein. Everybody believed in God. Did that make him stupid?
No, but here you are ready to go into a colonoscopy, and your inner energy is all making the pituitary gland secrete, and you're having visions of your mother.
No, sir. I didn't have visions of my mother in the waiting room. I had a dream the night before.
Uh-huh. By the way, I want to ask you.
No, let me ask you something, George. Does your mother ever come to you in dreams?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I save her, and then when I
wait. No. This is interesting. She comes to you in your dreams, and you save her in your dreams.
Yeah, she's dead. She died 13 years ago.
I understand. I'm not trying to be a wise guy. So when you see her in your dreams, what happens? You're saving her from her death?
I'll tell you. Yeah, whatever the dream manages to be. But I have this. I wake up in some kind of a physical state. And you know what's causing it, Mike? I have to urinate. That's basically.
I understand. Well, that's your problem, not mine.
Well,
I mean, maybe you ought to consider getting Flomax.
Well, you know what?
Maybe your dreams would be better.
Well, all these concepts that we have in the consciousness are related to what's happening in the body. Well,
I understand. I've heard all of this before. It's nothing new. It doesn't rile me at all because people who are faithless like you are actually sad. You have no faith in anything, right? You're a pure rationalist. You believe that when you die, meaning the electrical circuit goes off in your brain, there's nothing, right?
I haven't experienced it yet. I don't know. But
that's what you believe, which is that there is no afterlife and there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no punishment, there's no hereafter. So you believe that when the circuit goes dead, there's nothing, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And how does that make you feel?
It doesn't make me feel anything because I live for the moment. I live. I know I'm going to be alive for a couple more years, and I want to. I believe in what the Declaration of Independence says: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, I'm not knocking it. You're not alone in your atheism, but you're making a fatal error if you believe that all people who believe in God are naive or foolish or stupid in some way.
That. I said they're influenced by their bodily chemistry.
But that's a sarcastic way of saying that you know more than they do about God, that they don't know what they're thinking, they don't know what they're feeling, they don't know what they're seeing. I know men, for example, who were in combat, who went to the greatest military academies, highly educated men, who go to church every day. Does that make them foolish?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, does that make them foolish? A man who's been in combat, who has bullets in his body from the Vietnam War, who believes in God and prays, is he a fool?
No, I didn't say that, but I'm not discounting the bodily connection there. And you've got to.
So in other words, it's all gas. So when your baby smiles at you, it's gas. It's not the baby.
I don't want to beat a dead horse.
By the way, I have another question. And again, guy to guy over a bagel. Do you have children?
Yes.
What, they're mature adults?
Yeah.
And you never had a day in your raising of those children where you questioned whether or not God existed, and for one moment, for a flicker, you didn't believe there was something more than what you saw?
I used to.
And what happened?
The older I'm getting, more it's becoming, I'm becoming more a rationalist. Because look, the guys that flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they were believing in God, in their sort of God.
No, but they didn't believe in the true God. They believed in the false God. They believed in the devil. That's what they believed in. Now, don't confuse their belief in what they call God and the one true God. They believe in the devil, not in God. Anyone who could do a thing like that, or anyone who could take people and burn them alive, or rape young women over and over again in the name of God, they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping the devil. So, but let's put aside who we're fighting on the planet. Let's never forget that they're different than you and I. You said something interesting to me. We're strangers. We're meeting on the airwaves. You said you used to believe in God, right?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
How old did you... When did you stop?
Around when I started college.
And you never had another day in your life where you questioned this issue?
I try not to. I try not to leap off the cliff, Mike. I try to stay on terra firma and not make that leap of faith.
I understand, and you're not alone. My father was an atheist, so I come from an atheistic family. My mother was deeply spiritual. I come from a spiritual family. I myself am a true believer. That's all I can tell you. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm a rationalist and a believer.
Oh, you can't be.
Well, Einstein was. Einstein said that the further out he went into the perimeters of the universe, the more he knew that God existed. the more he knew it couldn't have been created by chance. Read Einstein. The more he studied the outer limits of the knowledge of the universe, the farther out he went, the more he realized there had to be divine creation. I'm not making that up. You see, that's the interesting part. And you see, the universities today show pictures of Einstein with the wild, crazy hair, with his tongue out like he was a pothead. He wasn't. He was the opposite of that. All right, look, we're not going to get anywhere. Can I send you a copy of either Teddy's, I almost said Teddy's War. I mixed up the titles. What's it called, the book? Teddy and Me or Trump's War? Which do you want?
The latest one, Trump's War.
All right, you see? At least you want something. Thank God there's hope for you yet. Yeah, Teddy's War. I should do Teddy's War. It's a Teddy's War on the curtains, Teddy's War on the pillows, Teddy's War on the chairs, Teddy's War on the floor. He has a war against everything. I don't know where he gets the water from. Must be that pituitary gland the guy was talking about. He just doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. Emmett on KUGN in Eugene, Oregon. Eugene, you're on the Savage Nation. Eugene, what's on your mind?
I am so honored to speak with you, sir.
Well, make your point, sir.
Okay. I'm talking to you in regards to you were making some information available to everybody about Psalm 91 this morning in your little prayer book.
Yep.
And we got to
speed it up. There's a big audience, and they're lazy, and they're angry, and they want to change the dial. I was reading the Psalm of David, and I was talking about how if a man is in battle, and he says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night," blah blah blah. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right. It shall not come nigh unto thee. Now I'm saying to myself, you have to be a real narcissist and egomaniac to believe God is going to select you to live. But that is what is required, not only in the heart of battle, but in the heart of life. That was the point, Emmett.
That's the point I'm making. Is that since Psalm 91, just for reference, you didn't mention that. I'm just kind of adding on to what you said. In that psalm, it was used a great deal. It's called the Warrior's Psalm, and it was used a great deal during World War II.
I had no idea, but I flipped through my prayer book in that waiting room, and that's the one I found. So don't tell me there's no divine hand up in heaven moving my hands and my lips. And on that note, Emmett, I'm going to take a quick break and be back in a moment on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So there's a lawyer at Harvard named Lawrence Trieb, T-R-I-B-E. So he's calling for Trump's impeachment without any evidence whatsoever. This little guy, this diminutive polyp named Lawrence Trieb. You got to hear him in clip one. Listen to this diminutive polyp.
He has shown no respect for the rule of law. He regards himself as above the law. He thinks it's appropriate to essentially have a job interview with the FBI director. As we now know, the FBI director wanted to be reappointed, and the president essentially told him, well, we'll see. It depends. Will you plead loyalty to me? Well, kings and monarchs and dictators.
Now he's expanding now. This is what he got away with at Harvard, teaching drug addicts for his entire life. And because there's no evidence here. There's not a scintilla of evidence. While there were mountains and mountains and mountains of evidence against Hillary Clinton, Lawrence Trieb, and how about all the crimes that his boss, Barry Obama, committed while Barry Obama ran roughshod over the Constitution for 8 straight years? You know the same Barry Obama who is the man who represents all the poor of the earth? You know him. You know the Nobel Prize-winning man? You know the very same guy who just got a $70 million book advance and $400,000 for a speech? You know that guy, the man of the people? The guy who's been on one yacht after another of trillionaires? That guy. He was not impeachable, though, was he? He was not above the law. He didn't consider himself above the law. He didn't consider himself above the American people. He didn't obstruct justice. He didn't create the greatest surveillance state in the history of the world. He didn't do any of that thing. But where was Lawrence Trieb then? He was lecturing and browbeating his stupid students at Harvard because he wanted to be a Supreme Court justice.
And now he thinks that his time has come to suddenly speak. Tribe, you're off the reservation. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what you're smoking, baby, but it's not good weed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
I was schlepping in the jungles of the Fiji Islands trying to make a living. Welcome back to The Savage Nation. I missed that whole phase. I wasn't in New York during those days. I had left in, I don't know when. I hated it at the time. You know, all the people, the gloom and doomers, it's all coming down, man. New York's going to fall apart. The smart ones stayed there and bought slum housing. They made billions of dollars and became congressmen and senators. But I try to save the world. Here I am. I didn't do so badly. I just followed my own drum, and that's it. So we're talking about different things. Comey. I mean, you want to look at Comey. I'll tell you what Trump's missing. He's missing a Roy Cohn. That's it. He doesn't have an aggressive, smart, brilliant attack dog. He doesn't have one around him that can do that for him. And if you want to talk about the whole Comey mishap, I'll tell you exactly what was wrong here. It was not firing Comey. It was the way it was done and the timing. He's leaving. Okay, Wednesday Erdogan is coming here. That I cannot figure out. I can figure it out a little bit. Erdogan of Turkey, who said flood Jerusalem with Muslims, is coming on Wednesday. That should be nice. I hope he shakes Jared Kushner's hand. That should be good. That's Erdogan on Wednesday. Then he's leaving for Europe, I guess. The president is on Friday, I guess. Big trip. Big trip. He should have gone on the trip and had Comey fired while he was away. Wouldn't have been a big deal. But he made it personal, as I said last week. Became like a street fight in Queens. Shouldn't have been that way. Timing was wrong. There's nobody there advising him properly. And I'm going to give you another example, if you want to hear it. Well, you wouldn't be tuned in if you didn't want to hear it. So here it is anyway. He did an interview with this guy, Lester Dolt. Not the brightest one in the media. This one, you could see right off the bat, is not on the top of the heap of the IQ, in the IQ department. I saw it during the debates. Don't you remember what Lester Dolt did to him? Why would he even submit himself to an interview with Lester Dolt? That's number one. I would have put an X through it, say, what, are you kidding me? After what that SOB did to me? No, let him go, you know where. Let him go interview Pocahontas. Okay, so then he goes to the interview with Dolt, and what happens next? You turn in the Drudge Report. There was a picture of the President of the United States sitting across from Lester Dolt, some guy from CBS, just a guy from CBS, and they're in equal-sized chairs, and Trump is sitting on the edge of his chair, leaning forward, as though Lester Dolt is the president, and he's a student who's in there to be admonished by the principal. I said, who's advising him? You don't let a president diminish himself like this. He doesn't have anyone around him who's media-wise. That's number one. I can tell you off the bat, nobody in his entire Department of Communications. You want to start firing someone, Donald? Start with your communications director who won't let you come on talk radio. He is the biggest schmuck that you have around you. Send you to Liberty University, where the 12,000 people saw that speech. My AQH is 400,000 every 15 minutes. Where are you, Donald Trump, they're asking? Nowhere to be found, because they're keeping you away from me. They hate conservatives. They think that we're all deplorables, and they are destroying you. That's number one. Get rid of your communications director. And number two, the next time you agree to an interview, have somebody advise you on how to sit, what angle to sit at. Make sure you're in a higher seat than the interviewer. Number three, make sure that the camera angles are right. No one there. He doesn't have a director. See, it's all wrong. Obama had it all down. He knew how to do this. He had Hollywood people around him. They advised him properly to make him look far better than he was. And so he got away with it for 8 straight years. He always was looking imperial, remember? Whenever Obama gave an interview, he was the imperial wizard sitting up there up high. And the media guy was what he is, which is a diminutive polyp. Okay, so that was two. So I gave you a two-shotter there for one. Now we can move on. Here's the news stories that we pulled. I just said to my assistant, where are the news stories I asked you to pull this morning? She says to me, they're on your stool. I said, what are you doing now? What are you giving me, scatological jokes now? I said, just talked about a colonoscopy. You say they're on your stool. Cut it out. See, what's happening is like it's warping my mind, the whole event. Supreme Court throws out North Carolina voter ID bid, killing law. No, it doesn't. It really didn't kill the law. It killed it for now. And if this government had guts, we'd refile this case. And when we get 5-4, the full Supreme Court, we vote again. Okay, weekend news. These are the stories I pulled over the weekend. Assange and Snowden, they are the ultimate villains of the cyber attack. Agreed. Because they ripped off the codes out of the CIA, and they are the ones responsible for this. As it was written, it says, freedom doesn't mean shouting fire in a crowded theater. Is it time to make Bitcoin and WikiLeaks illegal? Wow. Good question. Let's see. James Comey, not just incompetent, but he placed American lives at risk. Steve Baldwin, American Spectator. Very true. The only thing that Comey ever did, crime was raging around them. Terrorists were setting off bombs and killing people. He put Martha Stewart in jail. That's who James Comey is. He was not the straight shooting Boy Scout that he made himself look like. He was not Elliot Ness at all. He was a fraud. Let's see another one. Take a tour of the luxurious Italian villa where the Obamas are reportedly vacationing, from the Business Insider. Oh, yeah. I've been having a good time. Richard Branson's private Necker Island, Marlon Brando's former island in Tahiti. Then they went to Milan, Italy, where he gave a big speech for millions of dollars on climate change. I love that. He's sitting on one billionaire's yacht after another. You know what kind of diesel fuel they burn? Does anyone know what diesel fuel is burned in the super yacht? I do. You want the gallons per hour off the generator alone? Awful lot of carbon emission on that one. Now he's going to the Tuscan countryside, the man of the people. He's going to Borgo Finocchietto. What is it, Borgo Finocchio? No, Borgo Finocchietto. Borgo Finocchio? No, Buono. I'm not good with Italian, pardon me. Borgo Finocchietto, a luxurious hilltop villa in Juan Convento, where he'll be joined by his wife, Michelle. Oh, that's who his wife is. How do you like that? I never knew that. Borgo Finocchietto is a private village made up of 5 houses that can house up to 44 guests, 6 acres. And so that's where your president, the man of the people, is going. He's going to... It's so predictably middle class and boring. Why do they all want to go to these places? I wouldn't go there for 10 minutes. The Tuscan countryside, I'd have to call a helicopter to get me out of there after one night. I wouldn't sleep for 2 seconds. Just to listening to the... Who wants to be there? If I want to go to the Tuscan countryside, you know what I do? I don't go there, number one. Number two, I go to North Beach in San Francisco, and I go into a Tuscan restaurant, if I can find one, that approximates it with, like, wall murals of Tuscany. Right? I have a bowl of spaghetti Tuscanino and a glass of wine from Tuscany and go home. And I'm in my own bed with my own pillow. Why would you want to go there? What's the big deal about Tuscany? There was a movie made about it. So middle class. It's so predictable and boring. You sit in a farmhouse that's been converted. You go out of your mind. I can't take those places. Why do people do such things? This is all he wanted to do. The years he was ruining the world, 8 years, he wanted to go to Tuscany. And Necker Island with that guy, Branson. What's on Necker Island? What's he going to get there? I went past Necker Island last spring, actually, on a tour of the British Virgin Islands on a friend's yacht. It's really quite beautiful. The BVI is like my favorite place now. It's a little boring, but nice. Water's beautiful. And clean, nice. All of the swindlers live there. Very well maintained. All the swindlers hide their money in the BVI. All of these great villas, they fly in and fly out. All the money that's hidden and stolen goes into the banks over there. Nice place. No litter on the ground. No crime. A lot of mosques going up in the American Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands. Oh, yeah, lots of mosques. Wherever you turn, Allah be great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's see what else is in the news. We did Lawrence Tribe, who's off the reservation. Let's see. Oh, this is one that I don't know how to get into it, really. But I couldn't stop reading it. It was Brad Gray, the former Paramount Pictures chairman and CEO, died on Sunday of cancer. He was 59. Now, of course, you see the name Brad Gray. If you were a Sopranos fan, as I still am, and you love the movie The Departed, which I did, this guy was a genius. I don't know, died of cancer at 59. Statistically, not a big, you know, shocker in a way. 59, okay, people die, you know. But the thing is, you looked at how he got started. I didn't know Brad Gray came from the Bronx, and he went to, like, a University of Buffalo, where he met Harvey Weinstein, and then they got into the concert promotion business together. I didn't know any of this. And then he moved into the world of stand-up comedy, formed a partnership with Bernie Brillstein, which eventually came the Brillstein-Gray Entertainment Business. They're like giants, and they made and broke people. Then he produced the Gary Shandling Show. That was a big hit on HBO, Larry Sanders Show. Then they had a big fight. Shandling sued Gray for $100 million for breach of duties. I like that one. Breach of duties. I never heard of that lawsuit. Let me put that one up on my list. Breach of duties. That's a good one, Jim. I know you could sue someone for breach of duties. He claimed that Gray had inappropriately enriched himself by taking fees on the Larry Sanders Show from Shandling and from HBO. Gary countersued for breach of contract. Their feud split the entertainment industry into factions, blah, 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 with the likes of Warren Beatty and former agent Sue Mengers trying to broker peace. Suits were settled. Shandling died of pulmonary thrombosis at age of 66. Da, 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 da. Then they go into the DreamWorks deal, which that blew up. I found it interesting. Just not a big deal. And another lawsuit. Everyone sues in the entertainment business. One day they're the best of friends, the next day they're suing. That's the way it's done amongst people without any honor. Gray is survived by his wife, Cassandra, their son, Jules, his three grown children, Sam, Max, and Emily, from his marriage to Jill, née Gutterson Gray, his mother, Barbara Shumsky, his brother, Michael Gray, and his sister, Robin Gray. Well, he brought a lot of great stuff to the world. By just giving me The Sopranos, this guy gave me hours and hours and hours of relief. You know that to this day I still watch that on replay? It's so well done. No one watches it anymore, but I do. I actually search for it. I like the like the Blue Comet, where the fat guy gets shot over the train set. That's a good one. A couple of favorite scenes I look for. The fight, the famous fight where he gets sprayed the guy in the eye with, like, Raid, then kills him by banging his head on the ground. The toupee falls off. That was good. New York Post, Michael Goodwin. Trump is making it hard for even supporters to back him. Now that's a story. That's a story. That's a story. That's the story. But I'm not going to get into it. It's just a good article. I recommend you read it. Because Michael Goodwin is as close as you're going to get to being a Trump supporter. But even he's saying, oy, 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 what are you doing to me? Even I don't know where to go with this one, right? He's saying, oh, my God, Donald, please give me a break here. You know, make it a little easier for me, right? But I'm still getting calls on the God thing. So if you want to call on God or anything else, the phone number is 855-407-282, 855-407-SAVAGE, 855-407-SAVAGE, 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Here's a great story. I'm looking for inspiring stories in this age of negativity and BS, left and right, hatred from all of these polyps in the media. I'm not calling them vermin anymore. I'm going to call them polyps. They're more interesting. That's what they like, polyps. They're not people. Polyps with ties. British World War II veteran, 101 years of age, breaks skydiving record. Can you believe this? 101-year-old D-Day veteran has become the oldest person in the world to skydive. Bryson William Verdun Hayes, 15,000 feet, with members of his family in southwestern England. Among those jumping with were Hayes' son, grandson, great-grandson, and great-great-granddaughter. What? That's awesome. He wanted to try skydiving when he was 90, but was talked out of it at the time by his late wife. He jumped first time last year at 100. You hear this? What you could do it in a... You don't have to give up and die. Hayes served in the British Army during World War II and was awarded France's Legion of Honor for his heroic actions. So you know the guy was guts. He has guts from the toenail to the head.
The great, great men who saved this world. There they are. 101 years old. I wouldn't do it. I myself, I'm inspired by the story, but not to jump out of a plane at 101 or at my age. I'm not doing it. Couple of reasons. I'd probably get a heart attack, number one. I mean, just the whole thing. It's like the world falls out from under your feet. He was probably a parachutist in World War II if he was a hero like that, right? He jumped behind enemy lines and all. I don't know. I just wouldn't do it. I wanted to talk about acid trips for a minute, mescaline for a minute. I don't know why. I was reading one of my old books, The Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley and Heaven and Hell. And he was such a big proponent of mescaline. I think he overrated it, by the way. Many years later, his deceased widow, Laura Achara Huxley, wrote that I think he was, you know. Because I met her in the 60s in L.A. I went to interview her for a book I was doing, never published. And she said that they communicated in the next world and this and that. And he said to her he overrated mescaline. But in this book, he says that mescaline administered in suitable doses changes the quality of consciousness more profoundly and yet is less toxic than any other substance in the pharmacologist's repertory. And he goes on about the Mexicans, the Indians of Mexico, and, you know, the American Southwest. There was a friend of immemorially long standing. Much more than a friend. He's talking about the cactus, right? In the words of one of the early Spanish visitors to the New World, they eat a root which they call peyotl and which they venerate as though it were a deity. How'd it work out for them? They work out real well. They're sitting there getting ripped on mescaline buttons, and the conquistadors took their whole land away from them. Very nice. Really worked out well. That's why we're being overrun, because of medical marijuana. Because of the large numbers of stupid drug addicts in this country, the types to tune in and laugh at HBO, none jokes, because of idiots who are stoned day and night. Have you ever heard of anything like this? This nation is so drugged, legal, illegal. It doesn't matter. Everyone's drugged. Mostly drug addicts, a country of drug addicts. We are so vulnerable to anything you can imagine. You had a president, Obama, brings in diseased people with Zika, and no one says a word. That was impeachable, Lawrence Tribe. That was an impeachable offense. Offending the health of a nation? Offending the health of a nation by bringing in known disease, people with a known viral disease that didn't exist in this country. Obama could have been impeached for that. Do you know that? I shouldn't yell. Because a lot of the girls get scared listening to the show. They like me, then they hear a man getting angry, and they turn it off. They think it's their father that they hated. And there's a whole thing with that. I can't go into it. They all have a father issue, right? From a whole generation of brainwashing. You got to suppress the testosterone on radio. It's got to be like under the surface and quiet. Got to be like Metro, not, you know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Dr. Michael Savage back with you here. Many people don't know this, but I used to be the director of nutrition for one of America's largest health food chains. It's a fact. Super Beets is one of the most impressive natural functional foods I've ever seen in my career. That's why I chose to speak about them. You see, it's about blood flow. See, beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, convert to nitric oxide in the body. You know what that does, right? Hello, guys. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. Super Beets works three times faster to give you results you can feel, plus it tastes great. I use Super Beets. It's great stuff. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. So call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504, or go to savagelovesbeets.com. That's savagelovesbeets.com. You're going to get a 30-day supply for free. It comes with your first order. It is backed by a money-back guarantee. You're going to also going to get a free book, Beat the Odds, free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results that you feel with your first free canister of Super Beets, or you get your money back. It's that simple. You got it? 800-481-0504. 800-481-0504. You know what I wanted to do since I talked about God, and a lot of atheists listen to the show as well, drug addicts, atheists, things like that. They like my voice. They like my sense of humor. They like the unpredictability, all the junkies. So I was looking at The Doors of Perception, Heaven and Hell, book I've kept for years. You know, William Blake, you know, drawing, Blake's drawing, and the whole thing about mescaline. Is anyone out there who uses buttons or acid? Why do you use that stuff? What does it do for you? What do you see that you don't want to see? I mean, that you want to see. And I don't know why you'd want to this. You're under the influence of mescaline or LSD. I mean, if I were you, I would take nicotinic acid immediately to stop it. Incidentally, it's interesting, and if you're on an acid trip, this is a very interesting one. The antidote to mescaline high, to a mescaline high or an LSD high, is nicotinic acid, niacin, right? And that's a very intriguing idea for you to remember. If you're a little skitsy, or you get really edgy, and you start to like feel like you're losing control of reality or stuff, you absolutely should have niacin. I don't think you know any of this. This is really well known. It was very well studied by Dr. Hoffer. Incidentally, one of the reasons that many religions had you fast for a long period of time was to induce visionary experiences, because by fasting, you reduce the amount of sugar to the brain, and fasting lowers the brain's biological efficiency, and it makes it possible for the consciousness to be, let us say, entered by material that has no survival value whatsoever. And then by fasting, you induce a vitamin deficiency, and that removes from your blood the known inhibitor of visions, niacin, nicotinic acid. It's so important. That's B3. This is amazing. And I can talk about this at great length. I've studied it for a great deal of time, because I myself am totally opposed to psychedelics. I believe that psychedelics are useful for people who have no imagination whatsoever. In my experience, even when I was younger and people were using acid, I wouldn't use it because my mind was too refined. I used to say, you know what, I don't need it. My mind is like a Stradivarius. I really don't need to throw anything into the violin. I mean, if you have a brain like a banjo with one string, go ahead, play with the buttons. Maybe you need it. My brain vibrates without it. I don't need that stuff. You don't take a fine mind and screw it up with mescaline or LSD. If you're a dummy, use drugs. You know, then maybe your brain will vibrate a little bit and you'll feel something or think that you're a genius. But nevertheless, if you can find a prisoner or any person to a restricted environment, you put him in a cell where there's no light, no sound, nothing to smell. Are you listening? You know what happens? That person starts to see things. They'll start to hear things. They'll have strange bodily sensations. This is all connected to the fasting that I told you about. It's a biological reaction. I'm just throwing it out there because I'm interested in a lot of things, and it's all related to in some way related to the God thing I was telling you about. But I want to, before we move on to callers, I want to go back again. Again, don't miss what I just said to you. The antidote to LSD or LSD experience or LSD hallucinations, the antidote to mescaline hallucinations, which means the antidote to marijuana hallucinations, because the level of THC in marijuana today is so high that many people are experiencing the equivalent of what they used to get on LSD in the 60s or 70s. They are getting very, very sick from this stuff. And if you have a child who's freaking out on marijuana overdoses, I really recommend that you look into vitamin B3 and niacin. You know, get yourself a bottle of it. It'll stop it immediately. It's the antidote. No doctor will tell you that, of course, because they don't want you to have an antidote. They want you to remain a normal Democrat, progressive, who believes in fantasy, such as the miracles of Barack Obama, that he was for the poor, or that man is destroying the earth. Let's see. Let me give you the other litany. Or Donald Trump is worse than the devil and everything evil on the planet. Every childhood fable of evil, all put together, don't add up to the evil of Donald Trump. See, stupid nation of idiots. How many dimensions do you think I think in at once? You think I think in two, three? You're wrong. Paul, WABC, line two, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to check in, as you were mentioning peyote and mescaline and LSD, mushrooms. I've done them all at one time or another. And so just wanted to see what your idea was or what questions you might have. It's all been a pretty good experience.
What did it do for you when you were taking those drugs? I mean, did you gain anything positive out of it?
Well, I think what it does is gives you that interdimensionality you were just talking about. It's like a tool to open that part of your consciousness.
But what did you discover, that all the women you were abusing in your life were a result of what your mother did to you or something?
Well, I mean, I can tell you a good story.
That was a joke. You know, see how fast that was? It was meant to be a joke. That was just a joke.
With mushrooms particularly, I've done peyote in formal ceremony. I mean, we'd have to talk a long time for it to get into all of it, but the mushrooms particularly...
What do you mean, a formal ceremony? We're on East 7th Street or in the desert?
Well, in a teepee, and then it doesn't matter if it's in...
Up in Woodstock. Okay, I got it. You and the other hippies from Katz's Deli.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it was with a Navajo roadman who brings quite a line of tradition and medicine with him.
I understand, but let me ask you something. If you had a tumor, would you go to him or would you go to the Maimonides Hospital?
Well, I'm quite an herbalist. I had a brother...
And don't think I'm a cynic on natural healing. I wrote Earth Medicine. I wrote many books on natural healing, so I'm aware of it. I understand it. I respect it. But it becomes a point where Western medicine is the king.
In a holistic approach, I really would just consider all of the options.
All right. I understand. I'm the same way. I'm the same exact way. When I had the side effect to what I just had over the weekend... They wanted me in the ER room. Instead, I used all of my nostrums, and they all worked.
I mean, I don't take any medicine, so far, I mean, my life is taking care of itself in that way, I think, by being open to most things.
How old are you, Paul?
56.
All right, you hit a point where by now you would know. You know, to thine own self be true and be your own doctor. Physician, heal thyself. It works.
I'm an herbalist, a practitioner. Herbalist. I don't know a lot about making tinctures and like that, but I've some make salves and
good for you. That's a beautiful thing to do. I'm not knocking it. I wrote so many books on it. I was once into it more than any other thing on earth. But there's so much to be learned in the world of herbs, and there is so much charlatanism, which I'm sure you're aware of, that people are naturally leery of it. You know that.
I do it.
All right, look, I don't want to belabor this. I'm so happy that you're a listener. That's all I can tell you. And since you're a listener, I'm not sending you Trump's War. I think I'm going to send you Teddy and Me. I think you'd enjoy the dog book better. I mean, everybody likes Teddy. Pete on the whole house. All the other dogs were there over the Mother's Day. It's sickening. He's 13 years old. It's like, you know, you think he's through that phase? Can't... Because, like, the relatives brought down a new puppy, like a girl dog, a big, doubled his size. She's 45 pounds, and she's still a puppy. It's like a Bernays. Big, beautiful dog. They always smile a little. Like they're bred for pulling carts in Czechoslovakia. I don't know. Wherever, in Switzerland, they, like, pull carts in the snow happily. They smile. They're such beautiful dogs, a little Saint Bernard. So it's a girl, and she's, like, lopes around the house. You know, I love dogs. They'll have different personalities. But Teddy... couldn't help himself. He had to mark the whole house. 13 years old. You'd think he would have matured already. Well, he still thinks he's a hot number? You think by peeing on the curtain, she's going to go for him? I don't understand. That part of the dog behavior I can't relate to. It just gets me mad. You want him to put a clothespin on that part of his body, you know, and knock it off already. Anyway, I still love the little character. Musician, KSFO, where am I? Time-wise good? Very good. Here I am, Paul on KSFO, Line 6 from San Francisco. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Yes, I heard you talking about LSD and interested in people who did use it and why. And I was pretty reckless in my youth. I'm a guitar player and a musician. And I'm very passionate about music. So in my youth, you know, I was influenced a couple times to see, you know, what it's all about. It was just a curiosity. But the bottom line was I would sit in my room after 8 hours and everything was spinning and turning, and I would say, make it stop. It wasn't fun. It wasn't good. I mean, at first, it's like a novelty. You see things twist and turn, and I'm screwing up my brain. But it was just a reckless kind of period in my life. And
I understand. And so in other words, it destroyed your ability to be a musician who had control over his instrument.
Oh, yeah. I'm a guitar player 40 years, and I write and record my own music and, you know, smoked a little.
Why do you think why are so many people, and they're not all young, why are they so enamored on getting high right now with medical marijuana, so to speak? What do they think they're going to achieve by getting high all the time?
Because they're a bunch of sheep, and they think it's okay. You know, I'm 55, so I look at today's youth, and I just think, you know, like all the things that you say about them, they're a bunch of dummies and sheep.
But Paul, you look around today in the white suburbs today. Do you know how much drug use there is here between alcohol and medical marijuana? Do you know that many of these people are stoned all the time?
Yep, I'm in Pennsylvania, and heroin and opioids are a huge, huge problem. Because kids just have no focus, no drive.
No, I think I didn't make my point. Not kids, I'm talking about middle-aged white people are drug addicts now. And you wouldn't even know it, they're silent drug addicts.
Early in their youth, and they just haven't died off yet. You know, hopefully we're getting a smarter generation of kids and people, you know, coming up. Like, my son is 15, and I make sure that he doesn't go down that road. But you're just going to have to for that.
You know, you want to hear something interesting about that? That's funny you should bring it up. Yesterday, I walked in a town I used to live in with my son, who's a grown man. Great kid, great man. And we walked past a Little League field, and the boys were playing. It was Sunday morning. It was a normal Norman Rockwell Sunday morning. And he said, can we watch a half an inning? He knows I don't like sports. I'm bored of them. So we leaned over the little fence, and we watched the little kids playing. And he brought back all of the great memories of his childhood. And he said how good sports were for him. And now almost every kid he knows who played sports avoided drugs. It's an interesting statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a general statement you could make, but
of course, it is. I know that many kids go into the drug world anyway. But by and large, a kid has to stay pretty straight to play well on a team, doesn't he?
Yeah. If a kid is focused on sports, whatever he does, and he's good at it and wants to get better, they're not going to divert and scatter and you know spend
right,
a couple
right, right, and throw the bat into the stands because it looks good. To see the bat flying into someone's head.
They want to get good. Right. They want to get better.
How do you survive as a musician here in the San Francisco area, being obviously not into the left wing mania? How do you survive the whole world? What, do you keep it to yourself?
Well, I started out as a liberal, kind of a hippie kid, like I told you, but I see the wrong in it, and my whole family's liberal, and it kind of prevents me from, you know, dealing with them or kind of scratching
right.
the list because I don't agree with them anymore. My dad says he's a good socialist, but, you know, he cares more about all the strangers in the world than his own family and his grandkids.
Oh, God, one of those situations. You know, there's no better cure for a socialist than to go visit a socialist nation. He ought to start with the number one socialist nation in South America, which used to have a booming middle class, and now they're fighting over a zoo animal.
Absolutely.
For food.
Absolutely.
Right? And they're killing zoo animals to eat. They don't understand any of this. They just don't get it. And I can't, you know, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life worrying about what people know and don't know. I can't do it. I want to enjoy the rest of my life on radio. I want to tell you that. One of the things I came out of this thing with, whatever it is, this minor little surgery I had, is I just really want to try to enjoy my radio career. I don't want to really agonize over it anymore. It's too much agony in this business. I can't worry about whether Trump's going this way or that way every minute. I'm sick of it, the whole thing. And this is why I'm talking about God today and LSD or mescaline or anything else. Because I can't make my whole life wrapped around whether Trump burps or not. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Talking about drugs, you're talking about drug addicts, you're talking about insane liberal lawyers. This just came out. Trump put out a travel ban. Made perfect sense to anybody who wants to survive and not be overrun by Muslims, right? Sorry, that's the way it is. So he limits the travel ban to nations known to have a high percentage of Islamists in Muslim countries. The dumb judge in Hawaii says his executive order is unconstitutional, and it violates the First Amendment of Muslims because honor killings are Islamic. I didn't make this up. The lawyer named Neil Katyal, representing the state of Hawaii in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court of Shlemiels, said that any reference to honor killings should be removed from President Trump's executive order in order to, quote, pass constitutional muster. Now, I'd like to pass this guy some constitutional mustard because he needs a good emetic. What's missing from this maniac's mind is the meaning of the law rather than the technicality of the law. He's now saying that honor killings, murder committed in the name of restoring a Muslim family's dignity, that's Islamic. This is how far we've fallen as a nation. And now you've heard the entire story about the use of drugs amongst the legal class, amongst the judges, especially those in the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's, which must be broken up to save America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
I'm a little tired. I'll be with you. I mean, the after effects of that thing, I'm exhausted from it. Not eating that day, and then the drugs, and the this, and the fear. Not a big deal. I know real surgery is a bigger deal, but I'm here. I did 2 hours. I'm tired now. I'm bored of it all. I'm not bored, just, like, look at the news. Every day is the same anti-Trump crap. Can't these diminutive polyps do anything else? Can't a guy like Anderson Cooper get a job, do something for a living? Other than bash Trump. And then the diminutive polyp in a cecum is more interesting to me than Anderson Cooper. Has more personality than these jerks. That's all they do. Day in and day out, they think that that's the news business. This violence against sanity. And what did Trump actually do that's impeachable? Nothing. But what did Obama do that's actually impeachable? A few things. He created the greatest surveillance state in history, number one, lied about it, number two. What did Hillary do? They funneled money into a private fund, avoided taxes, all impeachable stuff. Of course, she didn't win, thank God. So we got to say, okay, well, thank God she didn't win. So a lot of people are, oh boy, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. All you got to do is think about her winning. Every time you think maybe Trump's this, Trump's that, just think if she had won. Now let's move on. So in the first hour or two, I talked about God, and then I talked about mescaline, LSD, and a number of other items along the way. I don't remember what. Some of it was pretty good, and a lot of people calling in on that. You look at the news. There's nothing in the news. It's all anti-Trump, all the time, day and night. Or some slut in Hollywood whose brassiere fell off on 42nd Street, or another one makes believe she was beaten in a home invasion. I mean, what these psychos do to get in the newspapers is unbelievable to me. They set themselves on fire to just get for 2 seconds in a page six. Chef who killed trans wife undone by smell of boiled human flesh. And you wonder why people turn off to the media. You know what I'm saying? Kellyanne Conway secretly hates Trump, according to two losers on MSNBC that no one watches with less than 1 million viewers a year. Unbelievable to me. Who watches those two jerks? No wonder people turn away. I turn away from it. Alec Baldwin. You want to find a career again. Try to act. Instead of imitating Donald Trump. That's his big deal, a schmuck. He always was I never liked Alec Baldwin. He struck me as the kind of thug, schoolyard bully his whole life. Leon DiCaprio to play NYPD detective who led crusade against mob. He is the greatest hypocrite. Great actor, Leon DiCaprio, but with the yachts and the girlfriends and the jets, and he talks about global warming, and I'm supposed to believe a word that they say? What now? What's in the business world? Oh, the market's doing good. There's a hack going on around the world. I think it's North Korea. That's my guess. Oh, yeah. That's what I think is Kim Chi's doing it. I think old Kim's doing this one. They got smart guys there, you know, like if they do anything wrong, they get tortured to death. It's a great incentive to do it right. Like in America, if you do something wrong and the boss complains about you, the boss gets sued. In North Korea, if you do something wrong and the boss don't like it, he turns you into animal fodder. Like he feeds you to the soybeans. Forget about feeding you to the cattle. He turns you into a soybean. Makes you soybean fertilizer. So it tends to bring out the best in you, that fear of dying. Oh, God, what now? What's in the newspaper? There's nothing to talk about. So I go to the horoscope sometimes in the middle of it all. So stupid. How could one horoscope apply to everyone under your sign? How is that even possible? Unexpected events will make this an interesting start to the week, Aries, and you may find yourself moving in directions that are entirely new to you. Being the adventurous sort, you won't mind a bit. Things have been a bit dull lately, so why not? Yeah, right. As soon as the show is over, I'm going to take a nap. Then I'm going to wake up groggy and depressed. And I say, what am I going to do with myself till tomorrow? I got to find something to do in the afternoons. That's the problem. After the show, there's nothing. It's so boring. Maybe I need another show, like a night show. Maybe I don't do enough radio. Maybe I should do another one at night, like a nutrition and health show. Yeah, Mike, do a nutrition and health. Wait, then I could do another one in the morning, a God show, or just on Sundays, a religious show. Comey, I'm bored of. What did Comey actually ever do, the hero of the left? Oh, let's see, he put Martha Stewart away for nothing. Put a poor woman in jail. That's what he did while crime was raging. Then when he was director of the FBI, the Muslims were setting off bombs and killing. He did nothing, even though he was following them. And Schumer. Schumer wants to be president. You know, of all of the leftists out there, you know, the only one, you're telling me Maxine Waters is going to run? Trump's so bad that she could win? No. The whole pack, here's what could happen. If this keeps up and Trump doesn't listen to me and the other wise men in the media who put him where he is, what's going to happen is we're going to have a left-wing fanatic take over. It'll either be Pocahontas. It won't be Maxine Waters. She's unelectable. Please, come on. She's as cogent as Nancy Pelosi on fish oils. Schumer, on the other hand, might. Bigfoot could. Could see he's definitely pulling for that one. Let me just hear his voice for a minute. I like Schumer. Let's hear 06. Let's hear his voice.
There's a crisis of credibility with the president. I mean, so many things, you know, there's so much factual fabrication.
Right, next, and then okay, fine, right. But you've had no problem with Obama creating the greatest surveillance state in history. No problem with Hillary funneling money to her husband's foundation. Come on, who believes you? You have to be high on corned beef to listen to a word this guy says. Again, Russia. Let's have war with Russia. Russia. How are you today? Russia. L.A. Delhi. Hey, you like the bagel? Russia. I'll have a bagel with a schmear and some Russia on the side. Who's a schmuck clapper? All of a sudden, there's like wonk behind the scenes CIA spook. Everywhere you turn, there he is putting down Trump. Who is this guy? Unbelievable to me. Newly crowned Miss USA. Miss USA doesn't consider herself a feminist, says. So she's a black lady. She wins Miss USA, and they go crazy because she's a conservative. And then she says she doesn't think that health care is a right. Oh, that's unbelievable. And she's a scientist, too. She committed three crimes. She's a minority who's a conservative. She's beautiful. And she doesn't believe the government should be superior to everything else. So they're attacking her. Listen to 17. Listen to clip 17. He's newly crowned Miss USA, who says she's not a feminist. She's a scientist now. Listen to her at number 17. Oh, God, I wish she had been first lady instead of you-know-who. God, wouldn't that have been great? The one who made believe she was an inner-city woman who was oppressed. You know the one, Michelle? The one who's living at the top of the... Yeah, right. Here's another one. Crazy Eye Zachariah. I always thought he was a double. From the day I first saw him with those eyes of his... Now he says Trump poses a danger to American democracy. I like to just look at him to see the mind of him, the face of a madman. Listen to number 18.
I have tried to evaluate Donald Trump's presidency fairly. I've praised him when he has appointed.
All right, I'll take the papadum, please. Just cut out the lecturing. Just give me the papadum with some hot sauce on the side and cut out the political lecture. Oh, let's hear him again.
Criticism from some quarters. But there has always been another aspect to this presidency lurking beneath the surface.
But
sometimes
I want the
erupting into full view as it did this
please,
week.
Please, sir. Sir, I didn't come here to hear about, please, I'll take the papadum. I'd like a nice chicken curry. And if you don't mind, make the rice a nice basmati, but I want it soft, okay? I don't want to hear a lecture. Thank you very much. You know what I'm saying? It's enough already from him. I hope that insults him. I really do. I hope he gets mad. I hope he tries to do something over that. Stupid. Who does he think he's fooling with those psycho eyes? Like, if you study, you know, sometimes I do, like, I'm bored. I go on sites like, you know, crime pictures. I used to do that. I used to look at crime photos from New York from the 30s and 40s. There was this guy who used to run around with one of those flashbulb cameras. Like, wherever there was a crime, he had a police scanner. He'd be there before the cops were there and get, like, the bloody gore. The mafia guy shot at a table with the check tablecloth. I forgot his name. He was always there. But one of the things I used to like to look at were, like, pictures of crazy people when you were able to call them crazy people. And if you look at, like, turn of the last century, not this century, like, 01, like, 1899 era, people were still, you know, put in a bug house before medication. And you look at the eyes and the faces of the poor people in the bug jobs, in the bug houses. Half the people in media, you match the faces. Or the woman who got O'Reilly off TV, that one. You put a burqa on her and you look at the eyes, a bug. A bug. Crazy. Most of them are nuts. It goes back again to either the genes, the drugs, the mother. I'm not sure what it was. Look at the mother she came from. Wow, mom and you. Okay, let's go to some calls now. I got a new affiliate that took me live. I got to like... No, KPRC in Houston is a huge station. I was DB'd. Now I'm live. I got to take this call. He's great. Dwayne on KPRC in Houston, Texas. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Dwayne?
Yes, sir. You know, I spent 10 years in public service as a firefighter, and, you know, I heard you talking about God. You can't help but realize there is a God after I've seen what I've seen, you know, so such as... Getting lost, firemen getting lost in a building, trying to find their way out, almost out of air, but they find a hose that goes out the back door, then they tell their commander that, hey, I found my way out because of the hose in the back door, and he goes, everything's running through the front.
there was no hose in the back door.
That's correct, sir.
Well, that's why I said, you know, I wasn't joking when I said I saw my mother in a dream the night before I went in for that little surgery, and she was trying to pray for me. I know my mother's in heaven, and I know there's a God in heaven, and I believe it. And I don't need the cynics on HBO to tell me I'm stupid. It doesn't matter what they think. All that matters is my faith. That's what matters to me.
Exactly. And, you know, those people like that are such small-minded, they can't understand that.
Absolutely.
You know,
I have a new name for them. I have a new name for all of those people, and I don't need to insult them because they insult our intelligence by thinking they speak for humanity. God served man pretty good for the centuries. And as I said, half of those people in the news business are of less interest to me than a polyp in an intestine. All right, Dwayne, I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War because I want to talk about that for 1 second. People say, well, isn't your book irrelevant now? I thought about it. No, it's actually more relevant now because it's the only record of what he promised and what we elected him for. I keep repeating that to people. Trump's War has legs for a reason. Every chapter is based upon what he promised us, what we told him we wanted, what we thought we were going to get, period. And so, therefore, unless we have a track record of what we elected him for, we're going to forget what we elected him for. It seems to me that he's forgotten what he was elected for. Well, I hope I get an opportunity to meet the president again, and I hope I can sit with him, and this time over dessert talk about Trump's war, and say to him, look, the deplorables really count. They put you where you are, Mr. President. They can keep you where you are. Please stop listening to your liberal advisors. They're steering you in the wrong direction. Hey, this is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. My loyal friends, I just got the ratings in for last month, and the first ones that come in are always from New York City, WABC, And I am pleased to announce that I'm ranked number one once again on WABC, in persons 2554 and in persons 12 plus. So thank you for listening wherever you may be. 2554, then on the bottom is 12 plus. Open that. Savage Nation, Michael Savage, number one. Nice, very nice, very good. I'm proud of myself, very good. That means the listeners like me there. But there's no AQH attached, which I don't understand. It's like a missing link. But okay, it's number one, which is important to me. Because, you know, we live and die. It's like to live and die in it. Play Live and Die in L.A. theme song, we got a second. Because it's like to live and die in radio land. It's amazing to be this competitive at this stage of my life. What's wrong with me? Why am I not, why don't I care, not care like everyone else? Why do I not care? I do care. I'm about the most competitive person you'll ever meet. Isn't that odd? I guess that's what makes for survival. Because if you're a competitive person, you take care of yourself, right? You make sure that you do your push-ups at night, you brush your teeth, you get your colonoscopy on time, because you want to live. Isn't that a mark of wanting to live? It is. So I think competitiveness is very good. And up to a point, I mean, but, you know, beyond a certain point, it's madness. Anyway, we're having a good time today. Just God, mescaline, LSD. What happened to you on a mescaline trip? I'm not interested what happened to you on a mescaline trip. I think you shouldn't use buttons. I think that all you got to do is look at what it does to people in the long run. You'll realize that these drug users destroy themselves. It's that simple. And there's too much drug use in America, whether they be legal drugs, whether they be psychoactive legal drugs or illegal drugs or alcohol for that matter. Because I mean, oh, why do you drink alcohol? I'm not selling alcohol. Somebody has to come up with an anti-drug program in this country. An anti-drug and alcohol program is so overdue. And I got to tell you this, Trump needs to hit the God thing more. He's got to hit it a lot more, and he's got to hit it a lot harder. I thought about that last week. That's a missing link in the Trump administration. I know he spoke at Liberty University, but excuse me, before he did, I was thinking about it. We had this atheist in the White House for 8 years, Obama. Just totally disregarded that whole tradition of the president going to church. It was like, oh, a scoffer, who cares? Okay, Clinton used to fake it with the big Bible, oversized Bible, fake cross, the whole thing. We knew that. Then you had Obama who didn't even care at all. They loved him for it. The atheists just ate it up. Well, now we have Trump. Why can't he be seen going into a church as he was during the campaign? Remember that? Why doesn't he just put on the show on Sunday, even if it's a show? I want to see him and Melania go to church. How do you like that? See, if I were his liat order, if I was his advisor, it's church on Sunday, period. End of story. No less adult interviews and more to come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Court throws out North Carolina voter ID bid. Oh, no, I saw that one. I'll tell you about that. And then I'll tell you about the cyber attack, who I think is doing it. I'll tell you right now, North Korea. How come all the geniuses in the media, no one said North Korea? Everyone's getting hit, but why wouldn't it be North Korea? Russia got hit. Asian governments got hit. Businesses are disrupted. It's North Korea. Who else is doing it? Okay, Mr. Kim Chi is doing it. He's showing you that he's got the power to cyber attack the world. Don't underestimate this guy. That's all I can say. Or as Donald Trump said, he's one smart cookie. That was really great. That was a smart one. Really high up there on the list of things to remember. That's a quotable. He's one smart cookie. But, you know, compared to the people at Harvard, I would say Kim Jong-un is a genius. Here's a guy at Harvard named Lawrence Tribe. I guess it's called Tribe. He always thought he was going to be appointed to the Supreme Court by Barack Obama, but he didn't. He's like a bitter, nasty old woman. Trump must be impeached. This is a constitutional professor at Harvard saying Trump must be impeached with no evidence whatsoever. Tribe is off the reservation. That's all I can say. This little guy, this diminutive polyp, a diminutive polyp named Lawrence Tribe. You got to hear him in clip one. Listen to this diminutive polyp.
He has shown no respect for the rule of law. He regards himself as above the law. He thinks it's appropriate to essentially have a job interview with the FBI director. As we now know, the FBI director wanted to be reappointed, and the president essentially told him, well, we'll see. It depends. Will you plead loyalty to me? Well, kings and monarchs and
dictators. Now he's expanding now. This is what he got away with at Harvard, teaching drug addicts for his entire life. And because there's no evidence here. There's not a scintilla of evidence. While there were mountains and mountains and mountains of evidence against Hillary Clinton, Lawrence Tribe, and how about all the crimes that his boss Barry Obama committed while Barry Obama ran roughshod over the Constitution for 8 straight years? You know the same Barry Obama who is the man who represents all the poor of the earth? You know him. You know the Nobel Prize-winning man? You know the very same guy who just got a $70 million book advance and $400,000 for a speech? You know that guy, the man of the people? The guy who's been on one yacht after another of trillionaires? That guy. He was not impeachable, though, was he? He was not above the law. He didn't consider himself above the law. He didn't consider himself above the American people. He didn't obstruct justice. He didn't create the greatest surveillance state in the history of the world. He didn't do any of that thing. But where was Lawrence Tribe then? He was lecturing and browbeating his stupid students at Harvard because he wanted to be a Supreme Court justice. And now he thinks that his time has come to suddenly speak. Tribe, you're off the reservation. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what you're smoking, baby, but it's not good weed. I mean, I have the news. Supreme Court throws out North Carolina voter ID law. First thing I saw that, I said, oh, we got screwed by Gorsuch. I said, no, we didn't, because it was 4-4. All they did was uphold the lower commie court. Now, okay. Let's see when it's got the 5-4 court and they reintroduce the bill. I was going to do that. Weekend news stories. Assange and Snowden, they're the ultimate villains of the cyber attack. They are. They are. They're the ones who stole. They're the ones who stole the data, the keys to the computer technology from NHS, CIA, DIA, NSA, MI6, Mossad, DGSE. Didn't they steal it? They're the villains. They are the villains. Assange and Snowden are the villains of the cyber attack. Now, there's more. James Comey, you want me to get started on him? His claim to fame, he put Martha Stewart in jail. A real brave guy. You hear? With all the crime in New York, he put Martha Stewart away. Wow, what a great guy he was. He really has his priorities straightened out. So at the Mother's Day dinner last night in the restaurant, I had two mothers at the table, my wife and my daughter, who's also a mother. And I thought about how significant this is and how beautiful a holiday it really is, Mother's Day. That maybe it started as a, you know, Hallmark card birthday holiday. But when you celebrate women like that, and not just women, not the screecher, screaming bomb throwers. I'm talking about women, mothers. Mothers, the backbone of the entire society. They bear the burden. Father, you know, makes the baby with the mother, but what does he really do? His body doesn't get affected by it. The mother... Think about what the poor woman has to go through to bear a child. We never, ever talk about that. It's hidden. The body, the woman's body is so heavily assaulted by childbirth. You do know all of this. The poor woman has to deal with all of this. The man's nothing. It's like a gadfly. There he is, flies in and flies out. So you have to respect women. You have to really take care of them. That's the whole point of it. We're talking about mothers. We're not talking about Joy Behar types. We're not talking about the other type, you know, the basters. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the authentic biological mothers. How's that? You don't like it? It's too bad. Go read your book of the devil. You don't like what I'm saying? Go worship your book of the devil. Get out your pentagram. So I'm at the table, and I had my first glass of wine or three before anyone sat down. I opened up a great bottle of white. I've been holding a Bourgogne. Loire Valley, wow, it makes Sauvignon Blanc taste like what it is, which is toilet water. So, you know, I was a little, you know, six sheets to the wind, just on two glasses of wine. So the restaurant's crowded. I said, I want to make a toast to the mothers at the table. All right, so he's going to figure he got to do that. And I said, were it not for blah, 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 you wouldn't be here. It was not for you, baby wouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? So it's the whole continuity. And I said, if it wasn't for the mothers in heaven, I wouldn't be here. She wouldn't be here. We all wouldn't be here. Now, when you make a little statement like that, a little prayer like that, as trivial as it may sound or as trite, it's actually not trite. It's quite profound. It reminds you of a few things, like, A, you weren't born out of the blue. Maybe the drug addicts on HBO think that they were born unto themselves out of their own anus. You know, perhaps they thought that they made themselves. But they didn't. They come from mother. They come from woman. Maybe they don't want to recognize that, but it makes you recognize that. It puts you in context. That's number one. Number two, it creates a finality to your life. There's a finite limit to your life. You're not going to be on television forever in your makeup, screaming at everybody like you're God. You're on HBO with a fake audience. Take a look at a guy like Bill Maher. To me, he's one of the most despicable people in the history of the media. To me, he's nothing but a diminutive polyp. I'd be more interested in looking at a diminutive polyp and a colon than listening to this man on HBO. That's what I think of him and all of the other left-wing fanatics who hate God. A diminutive polyp in the cecum would be more interest to me. They should be removed with a cold biopsy forceps from television if I had anything to do with it. If I had anything to do with it, I'd remove them from the airwaves for poisoning the minds of the people. Anyway, whatever. So there it is. So it's beautiful, that's all. It reminds you that you're not alone. You didn't give birth to yourself. You're part of a continuum. You have a lifespan, like a Drosophila, and you're going to die one day. So, you know, do the right thing, man. It's as simple as that. So we're talking about different things. Comey. You want to look at Comey. I'll tell you what Trump's missing. He's missing a Roy Cohn. That's it. He doesn't have an aggressive, smart, brilliant attack dog. He doesn't have one around him that can do that for him. And if you want to talk about the whole Comey mishap, I'll tell you exactly what was wrong here. It was not firing Comey. It was the way it was done and the timing. He's leaving. Okay, Wednesday Erdogan is coming here. That I cannot figure out. I can figure it out a little bit. Erdogan of Turkey, who said flood Jerusalem with Muslims, is coming on Wednesday. That should be nice. I hope he shakes Jared Kushner's hand. That should be good. That's Erdogan on Wednesday. Then he's leaving for Europe, I guess. The president is on Friday, I guess. Big trip. Big trip. He should have gone on the trip and had Comey fired while he was away. Wouldn't have been a big deal. But he made it personal, as I said last week. Became like a street fight in Queens. Shouldn't have been that way. Timing was wrong. There's nobody there advising him properly. And I'm going to give you another example, if you want to hear it. Well, you wouldn't be tuned in if you didn't want to hear it. So here it is anyway. He did an interview with this guy, Lester Dolt. Not the brightest one in the media. This one, you could see right off the bat, is not on the top of the heap of the IQ, in the IQ department. I saw it during the debates. Don't you remember what Lester Dolt did to him? Why would he even submit himself to an interview with Lester Dolt? That's number one. I would have put an X through it, say, what, are you kidding me? After what that SOB did to me? No, let him go, you know where. Let him go interview Pocahontas. Okay, so then he goes to the interview with Dolt. And what happens next? You turn in the Drudge Report. There was a picture of the President of the United States sitting across from Lester Dolt, some guy from CBS, just a guy from CBS, and they're in equal-sized chairs, and Trump is sitting on the edge of his chair, leaning forward, as though Lester Dolt is the president, and he's a student who's in there to be admonished by the principal. I said, who's advising him? You don't let a president diminish himself like this. He doesn't have anyone around him who's media-wise. That's number one. I can tell you off the bat, nobody in his entire Department of Communications. You want to start firing someone, Donald? Start with your communications director who won't let you come on talk radio. He is the biggest schmuck that you have around you. Send you to Liberty University, where the 12,000 people saw that speech. My AQH is 400,000 every 15 minutes. Where are you, Donald Trump, they're asking? Nowhere to be found, because they're keeping you away from me. They hate conservatives. They think that we're all deplorables, and they are destroying you. That's number one. Get rid of your communications director. And number two, the next time you agree to an interview, have somebody advise you on how to sit, what angle to sit at. Make sure you're in a higher seat than the interviewer. Number three, make sure that the camera angles are right. no one there. He doesn't have a director. See, it's all wrong. Obama had it all down. He knew how to do this. He had Hollywood people around him. They advised him properly to make him look far better than he was. And so he got away with it for 8 straight years. He always was looking imperial, remember? Whenever Obama gave an interview, he was the imperial wizard sitting up there up high. And the media guy was what he is, which is a diminutive polyp. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's the news stories that we pulled. Supreme Court throws out North Carolina voter ID bid, killing law. No, it doesn't. It really didn't kill the law. It killed it for now. And if this government had guts, we'd refile this case. And when we get 5-4, the full Supreme Court, we vote again. Okay, weekend news. These are the stories I pulled over the weekend. Assange and Snowden, they are the ultimate villains of the cyber attack. Agreed. Because they ripped off the codes out of the CIA, and they are the ones responsible for this. As it was written, it says, freedom doesn't mean shouting fire in a crowded theater. Is it time to make Bitcoin and WikiLeaks illegal? Wow. Good question. Let's see. James Comey, not just incompetent, but he placed American lives at risk. Steve Baldwin, American Spectator. Very true. The only thing that Comey ever did, crime was raging around them. Terrorists were setting off bombs and killing people. He put Martha Stewart in jail. That's who James Comey is. He was not the straight shooting Boy Scout that he made himself look like. He was not Elliot Ness at all. He was a fraud. Let's see another one. Take a tour of the luxurious Italian villa where the Obamas are reportedly vacationing, from the Business Insider. Oh, yeah. I've been having a good time. Richard Branson's private Necker Island, Marlon Brando's former island in Tahiti. Then they went to Milan, Italy, where he gave a big speech for millions of dollars on climate change. I love that. He's sitting on one billionaire's yacht after another. You know what kind of diesel fuel they burn? Does anyone know what diesel fuel is burned in the super yacht? I do. You want the gallons per hour off the generator alone? Awful lot of carbon emission on that one. Now he's going to the Tuscan countryside, the man of the people. He's going to Borgo Finocchietto. What is it, Borgo Finocchio? No, Borgo Finocchietto. Borgo Finocchio? No, Buono. I'm not good with Italian, pardon me. Borgo Finocchietto, a luxurious hilltop villa in Juan Convento, where he'll be joined by his wife, Michelle. Oh, that's who his wife is. How do you like that? I never knew that. Borgo Finocchietto is a private village made up of 5 houses that can house up to 44 guests, 6 acres. And so that's where your president, the man of the people, is going. He's going to, it's so predictably middle class and boring. Why do they all want to go to these places? I wouldn't go there for 10 minutes. The Tuscan countryside, I'd have to call a helicopter to get me out of there after one night. I wouldn't sleep for 2 seconds. Just to listening to the, who wants to be there? If I want to go to the Tuscan countryside, you know what I do? I don't go there, number one. Number two, I go to North Beach in San Francisco and I go into a Tuscan restaurant if I can find one. That approximates it with, like, wall murals of Tuscany, right? I have a bowl of spaghetti Tuscanino and a glass of wine from Tuscany. I go home, and I'm in my own bed with my own pillow. Why would you want to go there? What's the big deal about Tuscany? There was a movie made about it. So middle class. It's so predictable and boring. You sit in a farmhouse that's been converted. You go out of your mind. I can't take those places. Why do people do such things? This is all he wanted to do. The years he was ruining the world, 8 years, he wanted to go to Tuscany. And Necker Island with that guy, Branson. What's on Necker Island? What's he going to get there? I went past Necker Island last spring, actually, on a tour of the British Virgin Islands on a friend's yacht. It's really quite beautiful. The BVI is like my favorite place now. It's a little boring, but nice. Water's beautiful. And clean, nice. All of the swindlers live there. Very well maintained. All the swindlers hide their money in the BVI. All these great villas, they fly in and fly out. All the money that's hidden and stolen goes into the banks over there. Nice place. No litter on the ground. No crime. A lot of mosques going up in the American Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands. Oh, yeah, lots of mosques. Wherever you turn, Allah be great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's see what else is in the news. We did Lawrence Tribe, who's off the reservation. British World War II veteran, 101 years of age, breaks skydiving record. Can you believe this? 101-year-old D-Day veteran has become the oldest person in the world to skydive. Bryson William Verdun Hayes, 15,000 feet, with members of his family in southwestern England. Among those jumping with were Hayes' son, grandson, great-grandson, and great-great-granddaughter. What? That's awesome. He wanted to try skydiving when he was 90, but was talked out of it at the time by his late wife. He jumped the first time last year at 100. You hear this? What you could do it in a... You don't have to give up and die. Hayes served in the British Army during World War II and was awarded France's Legion of Honor for his heroic actions. So you know the guy was guts. He has guts from the toenail to the head. The great, great men who saved this world. There they are.
Savage.